The Rice to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code RTRS and brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rice to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged and stateside Urban Craft Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. You can now order from 44 different states. Sorry, Hawaii. Do it at statesidevodka.com. On the show tonight, the Sixers win streak ends versus the Bucks. A valiant effort and a really fucking ugly game. Tobias Harris, the closer against the Knicks. Daryl Morey is insisting that Twitter steal our podcast, and an all-star mailbag tonight featuring AU and Jason Lipschitz. And finally, Michael Bivins of Bell Biv DeVoe, a new addition, will join us. Talk about the NBA. He is a big Celtics fan. Before we get going, I would like everyone to know that this is my flu game, this pod. I'll be doing the entire pod standing up as I hurt my back this morning stretching and cannot currently tie my shoes and can't sit. So my flu game. Yep. So
I've done podcast standing up.
Voluntarily.
Voluntarily.
Yeah.
Well, it gives you more a little movement.
Yeah. On the radio, I always tell my hosts they should be standing up. You project better, you know, you get a little energy. But not being able to sit is a bummer. In any case, without any further ado, Amos and the show.
Daddy, sweetie, the man is here.
I say the name. We will write y'all.
Welcome to the Rice to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who thinks he's better than me because he voluntarily did the podcast standing up a few times, Mike Levin.
That's right. I am also partially vaccinated. I got it today.
Oh, congratulations.
Got number one. Alyssa also got number one. Feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling excited. This was an excitable game for it to happen, to get into overtime on a second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, you can't have a sore arm with something like that. You never know.
Not sore yet. Not feeling anything. Hmm. But I was wondering, like, should my heart be? Do I want to be getting this excitable? Like, I don't know. No one gave me instructions.
I think it's fine. It's just.
Maybe it's fine.
Yeah. It's pretty much hydrate and take some Tylenol if you get a temperature. I think you'll be all right. So it was the game was ugly as shit. The second night of a back-to-back. It's such a weird game to talk. I was talking with CJ, our producer, before the show. It's a weird game to talk about because, okay, you're playing second night of the back-to-back against the Bucks. The Bucks are hot, are playing well. The best net rating in the East. So you expect the Sixers are going to lose. On one hand, them keeping it as close as they did, playing tough like they did, on one hand, that feels good. On the other hand, not just blowing the lead, but like a few things in the game, like the sloppiness on offense, how sort of helpless Ben looked on offense as well. I'm very close to, no big deal. Like the game, it's not a big deal that they lost. I had it down as a loss, but man, it really could have been a win, you know, is where I am with it.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel, I enjoyed the Knicks game, which is also like a slugfest.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out how good the Sixers defense has been over these past couple games
without
Joel.
Yeah.
Really impressive. Genuinely shocking. I do think that there's just more in between and like motivation stuff in basketball than I think we give credit for as far as like who's a good defender or not. Like I think about that as far as like draft prospects where I'm like, this guy didn't play, this guy didn't defend at all. Like, there's nothing he does well on the defensive end that I can be excited about. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just effort. Like, defense is a lot of its effort. And I mean, like, Ben was not a great defender in college by any means, and then turned himself into this, you know, one of the best defenders in the league. And so I think some of that is there. Like, they know when they don't have Joel, these guys are like, we are taking it upon ourselves. And so I think that they're
looking to
their hands are
something.
Quicker. Yeah. I think that they're rotating harder. I was really impressed by the defense. Obviously, like, they ran out of juice mm-hmm. on the second night of a back-to-back. And, you know, there was a couple... There was one play when... There was the Giannis against the bench stretch mm-hmm. in the third quarter that brought them most of the way back in.
It's like eight straight from Giannis, I think.
Yeah, which is a very Doc thing to do, and we've talked about it before, and it's benefited and it's gone against... I think when it's Giannis against the bench, like, maybe make a change, maybe just, like, alter a little bit, especially when Joel's not present. That 12 to 15 point lead is, like, you know, we want to hold on to those things. And there was one play in that stretch when they were like, we're playing zone, and, like, three of the players didn't know they were playing zone. Yeah, Giannis was, it was a pretty open dunk. But aside from that, I thought that they just, like, played really hard and Tobias, I thought his hands and back-to-back games on defense were great. I thought he was stripping things left and right.
Yeah, he played great.
I think
great.
Korkmaz played well. Matisse always does what he does, which is always impressive. I thought Dwight was pretty good. Ben was incredible on Giannis. It was easily the best defense on Giannis I've ever seen him play, and maybe I've ever seen anyone play. Like, Giannis was just giving stuff up. Like, he was just like, I'm not shooting. I'm terrified of what's happening here. Giannis had deep post position, and Ben was just strength, positioning, hands, all that stuff. And then they just got gassed, and they just, like, stopped being able to do that kind of stuff. And
Milwaukee started like
that late.
I think Milwaukee
started hitting shots.
Yeah, 1-16, you know.
Yeah. I think to me it's like, on the one hand, frustrating game because they were up so much and they did benefit from a Milwaukee not shooting well night. And they really did earn it on the defensive end over and over. Even like Mike Scott guarded Giannis for a bit and had like a nice poke the ball out and then dives on the ground to save it. Like, that was like, there's nice moments here. They're playing hard. It got physical. It's fun. It felt like a playoff atmosphere with the crowd there. But I think it's just sometimes you just run out of juice in games when you already don't have Joel. Then Seth goes out with an ankle and it's second half back to back and it just goes away. But I take a lot of joy in the, you know, they won six straight right before this.
Yep.
And I feel generally like really, really good about how things are going.
Yeah, and that second night of back to back thing is real. I mean, part of the Knicks were on the second night of back to back, and you see what happens if you can just sort of if the other team can just sort of hang around long enough, you can take advantage of that. So
yeah,
the man Drew Holiday is so good. I mean, on both ends, I do think offensively, I know this is not a Bucks podcast, but I do think they underutilize him a little bit. I offensively, at least, it seems like they don't do much with him, but anytime he touches the ball, he just seems to do something good with it.
I think that's the conundrum with Drew.
Yeah.
In that when he's underutilized, you're like, man, he could do so much more. And then when it's his responsibility to do more, it ends up being like
20 footer.
He had like 22 shots
and
like didn't get to the line and like kind of got stopped a couple times. It just feels like he's that in that in between of really good player, all-star type close, has been a couple times or once or twice. But I do think that like there's a limit to how far he can go because he's not crazy athletic, not crazy quick. Doesn't have like so many moves in his bag, but around the rim, like he made a couple of really nice plays, a couple of nice finishes.
Yeah.
Certainly helpful. He's, did a good job on Simmons in the post. Like he's a great player. I love Drew.
He's so big too. I mean, we remember him here when he was, you know, 20 years old. He's both in terms of like his physique and he looks taller than when he was here. Man, he would have fit well here.
You know, for sure. Anybody like that would be really nice. I think ultimately this game, like they got eight foul shots, and one of them was on a technical free throw that they missed. Eight foul shots in an overtime game, and I think, I mean, Ben got zero. I think he deserved a bunch, and they didn't call it.
Ben had
Tobias
one.
Tobias got two.
Didn't he?
That felt about right. Shake got none, and that's ridiculous because he got hacked a bunch of times. I think Dwight deserved more than two, and Look, I don't blame the refs for calling fouls on Dwight. A lot of the time, he's fouling a lot. But he also gets fouled quite a bit. And I think that it doesn't go both ways. We're not, Dwight is not the beneficiary of the fouls that he is also getting called for on the other end.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, they got outshot at the free throw line by a million. And they, aside from Korkmaz, who, I mean, let's just say it for a couple of minutes, like, what a guy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Off the Iverson cut off the inbounds, good shake pass. DiVincenzo gambles, terrible play.
What was DiVincenzo doing on that play, by the way?
Just trying to get the steal, not knowing the situation. Yeah. Really, really bad. But Korkmaz takes his time, gets his big ass feet together, not a replay of the confetti game, making sure that he's not, and he's in that little in between, gets it home. And then there's nothing happier on this earth than Furkan Korkmaz when he hits a crunch time three.
Oh.
Like, there's just nothing happier. And then he hit it from the exact same spot to start overtime. He's just great. And obviously, I've been a proponent of his improved defense over the past year or two. And there's limited offense. But, he's a good player. And I don't know if he's going to stick around here for long enough. I think that they, if there ends up being space for him as a fine, bench secondary creator, I think he's worthwhile. And he's a good shooter. Streaky, but really, really good. I love him. I have such affection for that little weirdo.
Yeah, I'd love for him to be here, honestly. I do love him.
I'm happier, similar with TJ and Cove and I mean, Jeremy's a better player at this point, but I want these guys that we've lived with to at least get a big, nice contract. And feel validated from the time when people are like, who the fuck is Korkmaz? And who the fuck is Shake? And all these people. It's like, they feeling like they belong, I think, is part of a cool thing of being a fan of, especially during the process years, but just generally being a fan of you get attached to these guys, and then seeing them succeed outside of their rookie deal is a cool thing. Seeing it with Dario right now, it's all great. I love these guys.
I wonder if Dario could get a 3-year, $10 million deal somewhere. I mean, not Dario, Furkan.
I think that'll be, I think 315. I think he's hit enough big shots and gets hot, and his defense legitimately is improving. I know it's not. I know that's my thing. I know I talk about mediocre defenders getting better, but straight up, he is. And you see it with Tobias. You see it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You see Tobias' defense improving all the time. Yeah. Obviously, when he's in the post with Giannis, Giannis is going to do what he wants with him. But there's hand stuff. Tobias did a great job with Chris Middleton a bunch tonight. I think he both on ball, off ball, he's seeing the game more. I attribute that to just being around Ben and Matisse and seeing what they do. I love Tobias on defense, and it's tough because I was thinking this earlier in this game because he had a really tough game. He just didn't have it tonight. But his offensive game prior to tonight, all season, prior to tonight and the first game in the season and preseason, has just been automatic. He's just been straight up automatic, so precise in his movements, making the right decisions, getting to his spots, being decisive. It's really a joy to watch. He's gone from, because knowing that he has that little layup, kiss off the glass, high off the glass, little spots on the court that he knows he can get to, contested everything, closing it out in the Knicks game and then taunting the fans. It's just cool. It's cool to watch. And it's, for a guy that I was not a Tobias fan, obviously, for him to have such a good season, a historically good season, as in his role and also being a leader of this team, it's just it's awesome. And whether he's an all-star or not, I think he probably deserved it, but it's tough to give three guys all-star bids on one team.
Well, there are a lot of players in his sort of
for sure
performance area. I think
for sure
we always talk about how much it has helped Embiid that there are players who can shoot on the court. But I think we would be remiss in not talking about how much it's helped Harris. And it gives, because he and Embiid can work to in the same sort of area in the court, that 18 feet to 14 feet away. And, Tobias is shooting 1.5 less threes a game than he shot last year. And he, and even his points per game are it's right around the same. His numbers are pretty close to last year, even though this year is better. But you
stepped up without Joel lately, but yeah.
Yeah, you can tell the space, he's obviously more decisive and determined and has been better. But I think the space is able to help him as well and has defined his role a little bit better. Like, everybody's roles were fucked up last year. And I think this year, having players around him who are doing the things that he's maybe, that they wanted him to do last year that he's not quite as good at, like bombing away from three, has allowed him to do a little more of what he does.
Yeah. I think that you saw that when they don't have that, you know, we've obviously talked about the Simmons, Matisse, Dwight lineups, but even closing with Simmons, Dwight, and like Tobias not having it, and Ben kind of stopping, wasn't looking at the rim for a lot of tonight, although he did hit a three. Congratulations to you. Did you cash out?
No, I haven't bet it since I won it last time.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Look good. Shot looked good. Stepping into it.
Yeah, maybe he should do it more. I don't know.
He should do it more. Yeah. Why not? Especially when he's stepping into it. You just saw that there was just no offense left. And some of it was tired legs, and some of it was like Shake not getting calls. But like when you're running, like please Korkmaz get open. Please can we run 14 dribble handoffs with Korkmaz just begging him to get open. And the same thing with Danny and whatever. It just became, especially without Seth, without like some of his ball handling ability and creating things and shooting gravity and stuff, it became like it's really tough to generate offense on this team when Joel's not there, and then when Tobias isn't hot.
Yeah.
And I think Simmons can do it for sometimes. He just didn't seem to have it tonight. I think it's a tough matchup for Ben because Giannis can match him on the other end. But yeah, you do see like that's this kind of thing where it'd be nice if Maxey was, you know, 3 years into his career, or Shake was getting those, was at a place in his career when he was getting those calls or something. But it is tough that they didn't win this game, because they should have, and they could have if just a couple more threes went down, or they got to line a little bit more, or whatever it is.
One thing, Simmons has been great, especially defensively and certainly more engaged offensively since he had that string where he would, I think it was the Utah game when he had 14 free throw attempts. He's averaging less than four a game.
Yeah.
Like that can't go away, you know?
Yeah.
They need it. And today you saw Sean O'Connor mention this, when a team just decides they're going to back up and pack the paint against him, he's, like, some of it's got to be like, you got to just be a wrecking ball and go in there and hope you get a call sometimes, because four attempts a game is not going to get it done. We need more out of him on that one.
Yeah, I mean, he had five fouls towards the end, so it's tough to be aggressive when he gets called for those things. And he got called for a couple ticky-tack, one offensive chicken wing that Drew sold pretty hard. And so I think it started to, once he couldn't be his full aggressive self and physical, I think it became a little bit like, not, you know, plus like being tired, the defense starts leaving. Played 46 minutes, second night of back to back. That's a lot. Huge block late in the game, by the way, against the backboard when Drew beat him and Ben just rose up and blocked it. And then the next play to have like four behind the back dribbles to get to the rim for a dunk and keep the game close. It's, you know, the Sixers are the best team in the East right now.
I think they're second.
Hard to not. Are they second now?
Yeah, the Brooklyn won.
Did Indiana win or lose?
Brooklyn won.
Ah. Yeah. But even still, it's hard not to go back to our roots and do a moral victory. Because I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel like a moral victory. Right. Any game when Korkmaz is happy feels like a moral victory. I thought Shake got some of his juice back, but the shot is weird.
There's something wrong.
I don't know what's going on with it.
There's something wrong.
I don't know what's up with the three. Is it a shoulder thing? Like, what's going on with it? But, you know, the attacking the rim, I love him attacking the rim. I thought he was great. I thought he should have gotten more calls. A bunch of nice finishes.
But why does he look like he's shooting a bowling ball from three?
I don't know.
It's fucking
really
weird, man.
And then a couple of big shots from Danny. It was a good Danny game.
Great Danny game.
He had one weird play in the Danny of the Knicks game, was he threw it directly at Emmanuel quickly in transition, but those things happen. But like, you know, getting his hands on balls, poking out from behind, huge three late with Drew all over him in the corner. It's a moral victory. I feel it. Do we hear anything about, I just finished the game a little bit late on DVR. Did we hear anything about Seth's ankle or no?
All I saw was Keith Pompey or everybody tweeted during the game, sprained ankle, will not return. I imagine they'll have to do imaging on it before we hear anything. You don't know if he broke anything. It's funny, I broke my ankle twice, when I was a teenager, how he did that. But and some
slowing down.
What's that?
Same thing, like slowing down on the
I was playing basketball. I was running toward the rim and I went to stop and my ankle folded over like that, like twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be a sprain too, but sprains sometimes like can be even sorer than breaks. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I broke my foot, trying to block a shot and then turning in midair and tried to, and just landed right on the side of my ankle and just like totally
terrible.
I think people think I'm high because my camera's lower. And so like my eyes are just like,
yeah, but your cadence next to mine sounds high. Like, you're sort of
that's
like,
it. I feel like I'm more animated most of the time.
Nah, you're like, yeah, man. Like compared to me, you sort of are. You say no, but you are. I'm telling you.
All right. Cover band.
Oh, really? You're gonna hate on me for being in a band?
Come on.
All right, Mike. Good news in terms of odds. Ever since the Embiid injury on DraftKings, I expected the Sixers championship odds to change, and they haven't. The Sixers stayed at plus 1,200 to win it all, and then plus 500 to win the conference. So
I think it's because the Sixers medical staff, the reason that they're not good is because they also run sportsbooks. That must be it. It's got to be it. So they have too many jobs, too many responsibilities.
Yeah, so the DraftKings odds makers are there in lab coats and with stethoscopes and medical masks. Which one's the side job, being a doctor or being a line maker?
Each job thinks that they're not the side job.
Classic.
If you don't know who the side job is, you're the side job.
Along with having the best medical sports book in the world, DraftKings Sportsbook also has DraftKings Casino and Sixers Blackjack. That's right. You're playing blackjack on the DraftKings app, whether it's the casino app or the sportsbook app. You get a Sixers like table there, and it makes you feel like, hey, I'm betting with the Sixers. If you're going to play, I love playing blackjack on DraftKings. It's a fun way to play blackjack on DraftKings. They're an official partner of the Sixers. That's how that happens. Download the DraftKings Casino app right now. You can play. You can also play in the sportsbook app. In the casino, there's slots. There is blackjack. There's live table blackjack where you can see a live dealer on video. It's wild. Roulette, all that stuff. Based right here in the U.S., so you deposit, it goes in there. You can feel confident. You take out the money, it comes right out. Download the DraftKings Casino app now. Use promo code RTRS to get a deposit bonus up to $1,500. That's promo code RTRS to earn a deposit bonus up to $1,500. And if you take advantage of this right now, DraftKings will give you $10 in free credits. That is code RTRS to get these offers. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. Deposit and bonus amounts requires 10 times playthrough at various contribution rates. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And
can we talk for a second about the big man situation?
About Tony Bradley or?
Just Tony Bradley and Dwight. I thought that was, they just played nice. They just like, it's, there's the benefit of having two lunch pail centers, just guys who, I mean, now Dwight has taken three jumpers in two nights, or made three jumpers in two nights. That's good for him. Got a little juicy and at the end where it was like, I don't want Dwight mid-ranges with like 2 minutes left. No. That's probably not the best use of offense.
Nope.
And I love how much the crowd loves him. I think it's fun. It's a good narrative at this point in his career. To be like beloved lunch pail guy, just like fouling everybody. But man, the offensive fouls on screens are just tough.
Dude, that one toward the end of the game, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Where Korkmaz was running, where he's screaming for Korkmaz, he was like, he like was facing the wrong way and he like put his leg out. It was unbelievable. It's not one that you're going to get away with. It's not one that you're
going to
get away with.
Not at all. I thought they went, I get the, you know, PJ Tucker was traded to the Bucks tonight, so that knocks out a small ball five option. It remains to be seen if he is washed. I don't think he is. I think he just didn't give a shit this season. He's saving it for going to a contender, and now he's there.
He'll be good for the Bucks, by the way, because they can play. They don't, when Brook Lopez looks terrible, which is more games than not, they could just have a lot of minutes with Giannis at center and Tucker at four, and that's a kind of a tough fucking lineup, you know?
Yeah. If Houston buys out DJ Augustine or just waves him or whatever it is to get the cap working. That is something I would be interested in the Sixers seeing, because good ball handler, solid guy, good leadership. People love playing with him, and a pretty good shooter, and also kills the Sixers, as always. Those guys will come here, and he'll shoot 21% from three, and that'll be fine. But the kind of guy that, like, if Lowry is not available or not for the right price, that's an interesting option. But without PJ Tucker, they went to small ball five with Mike Scott, and I thought he played really nice defense. I thought he had a, like, you know, I mentioned the diving on the ground. I thought he had a huge rip of Lopez on the, and is battling him down low, and had a nice play, two steals. But when Mike's not hitting, it's just really tough. You're not benefiting from it. Mm. And he was 0-for-5 from three. And that happens, and he had a good little stretch. But, like, and he's just not, he's a guy who can shoot. He's just not a shooter. You know what I mean? Like, no one is staying attached to Mike Scott because you're scared of him hitting that three. And it would just be really, really nice to have a backup five who could make the defense have to cover them.
Agreed.
And Mike Scott's not that guy.
Agreed on all accounts, though. I do think I enjoy how willing he is. And I do think I feel like I've seen him get hot more times than he probably ever has. But yes, they need an upgrade from Mike Scott.
There. Yeah.
Mike Scott.
As much as I do love him, I think he's good for the team.
I was looking at the picture the other day from the live Ricky where he's wearing the Wrights Ricky Sanchez hockey jersey. He
never wore it to the game.
Well, he said he was going to wear it to the finals. And they haven't.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Would he wear it to the finals with a different team?
Well, it doesn't say Sixers on it.
That's true.
He could.
A lot of confusing Hornets fans in 2028.
As Mike Scott rolls in a Wrights Ricky Sanchez hockey jersey.
Right.
Finally.
And I just want to call out, there was a really nice Dwight block on Julius Randle in the next game. Huge block. And then the next possession, a huge Nerlens block on Tobias.
Yes.
Cool. Love Nerlens.
You love seeing Nerlens. Yeah. It does.
He never put on more weight.
No.
He never did.
No.
But he never did. And he's a good player. He's for sure a good player and a very, very useful backup five, and would be useful on if Simmons wasn't on this team, would be totally useful as a backup five on this team when you didn't need someone who could do a little bit more offensively. But never put on weight. Interesting choice on there.
Well, sometimes it's not a choice. You know, there are some guys that just can't do it, you know? Like, maybe he just couldn't do it. I don't know.
He just gets pushed around. Like, his legs are skinny. Like, some of it is a choice. Some of it is, like, he just didn't get in the weight room enough. Mm-hmm. He hasn't. But he's a good player. I mean, he's a good player, and part of it makes him be able to, like, you know, switch 1-5 when he needs to.
And he does, dude. He's not afraid of getting dunked on. Like, he will challenge. You know, he will challenge, and he showed that the other night. The last thing I wanted to say is, like, so Tobias is playing great. Obviously playing great. There's a lot of, like, we should. One of our writers texted me about this today. Apologies for Tobias. No. You can be bad or be okay and then get better. And it doesn't mean when you said that he wasn't that good, that he was better than he was. I refuse to apologize for anything I've ever said about Tobias Harris. I'm glad that he's better. Players can get better, but it doesn't mean that they were better when we said that he wasn't that good. You know,
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's part of it is I haven't looked. I would love to see like a breakdown or like a shot chart. And frequency of what Tobias has done differently from last year to this year.
Well, he's taking less threes and he's shooting a higher percentage from two. I mean,
I know, but where on the court is he getting to his spots? What was he doing last year that didn't feel as clean, whatever it is? And I think part of it is that he's just making shots. I don't think that he's necessarily changed his game so much aside from, I think he's developed a little bit as a passer. And part of that is just spacing and having guys who can shoot a little bit more and knowing your role and stuff. And part of it's just, that's just chemistry that comes with, being around Ben and Joel and these guys for a little bit longer. And I do think he's making quicker choices. And tonight was a night that it felt like when there wasn't other stuff happening, it became the Carmelo Anthony Tobias that we don't love to see. Not that Carmelo's bad, just the idea of like, it becomes the like stare him down, back down for a while situation. And that was tough.
Yeah. Well, and he's not as Carmelo Anthony at his prime was pretty fucking good. You know, there's a difference.
Tobias this year has been legit. I mean, obviously lower
been
roles,
great.
But like those percentages are great. Yep. Like, he's doing a great job, and I love watching him. And it'll be a bummer if Seth is out for a while because this team
they need him.
This team get the shooting on this team dries up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see Maxey step in for a little bit if Seth misses a couple games. But Seth has been doing, I mean, he didn't shoot well tonight, but he's expanding his range. He shot from deeper in the Knicks game, and he's added a lot of elements to his dribble drive game, really good touch, finding guys. I feel like a confidence with him with the ball in his hands, like forcing the defense to either come up on him or leave rollers open. And so that's nice. It'll be a bummer if he's out for a little while.
So, Mike, a special event Thursday night on Twitter Spaces. Now, you may be asking, what is Twitter Spaces? So
I am asking.
All right. So above your timeline on the app, on the phone, I don't know if this exists on the on the web version, there are the things that they stole from Instagram, the little things. What are they called? The little circles.
Little things from Instagram.
The top things. What's the thing with Instagram? Do you do a post or you do a
story?
So Twitter stole that thing and it's up top. But you can talk in there, audio, and it's called Spaces. So we were not everybody has that. Everybody can listen to it, but not everybody can do it. So I looked and somebody from Twitter showed me how to do it. So we were talking a couple pods ago about somebody emailed about what would happen if the NBA just took away the 3-point line. And then we were talking about lowering the number of threes on the last pod. And Daryl volunteered to do a Twitter Spaces with us and talk about it instead of just coming on our fucking podcast. And I'm going to teach you a lesson, Daryl, because I'm going to record the fucking thing and put it on our podcast. So you're not getting out of that. But it is Daryl, me, you, and his friend Hugh, who we don't know, right? But he actually is verified. You're not. Hugh Howie. I don't know if it's Howie or Howie. I'm sorry, Hugh. And we're going to talk about it on Twitter Spaces on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So,
are we just talking about that? Is there parameters?
Well, that's what he said he wanted to talk about. You know, I don't want to fucking lie to him, you know, and have him. I don't know. I mean, what else do you want to ask him about?
I don't know. We haven't talked to him since he became GM of the Sixers. Feels like we have some questions.
Yeah, I think I want to know if we deserve any credit for it, I think, is one thing that I think we need to get out of the way. You know, it's a week before the trade deadline. But maybe we'll talk about this first and then see how long.
He shouldn't be doing this.
No.
He has better use of his time.
He's either brilliant or a total moron. I can't figure out which one. So it'll be on.
Are you going to be hosting it? Are we doing it like it's a podcast? How are we?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just going to start talking, but I don't know. He's Mr. Let's Do It on Twitter Spaces. So I don't know. You fucking host it, Daryl. Just send us. You have our email addresses now. Send us the prep sheet.
Okay.
I want to see the prep sheet, Daryl. I want to see your notes. I want to see where are we putting the sponsors in.
We're doing sponsors for Twitter?
No, not for Spaces. Maybe when we stick it on the podcast, because not everybody's on Twitter, obviously. Only, you know, 10% of the population, maybe 80% of our listeners, but 10% of the population. So, and here's the other thing, is that once you're off, it's not there anymore. It's not archived in any way. So.
Oh, so it's a live thing?
Yeah, it's live.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
All right.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't know, not much to say. One thing we addressed earlier, that Milwaukee traded for PJ Tucker, takes him off the board for the Sixers. I am fully on team no big trades for the Sixers for the deadline. I'd be fine with a second and something for George Hill, add like a guard, but I don't want to trade a bunch of stuff for Kyle Lowry. I just don't. I would rather wait till the offseason, get a player that we know can be here and we know is got a little time left. And if that's going to be our bullet, I'm not trading a couple of first round picks or anything for Kyle Lowry. So that's sort of where I am. I don't know where you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I think Kyle Lowry would make this team a legitimate championship, not just contender like in the mix, but like if Embiid comes back, I think like maybe the odds on favorite.
No.
Just because the fact that no other contender has a real guy to stick on Joel. And unless you believe in Brook Lopez, and I don't think really anybody can stick on Joel at this point. But I also feel, I can't tell if I feel a healthy amount of preciousness with our guys and not wanting to lose them. Like, I think Matisse has been excellent lately. Mini three-point resurgence aside, I think his just defense has just been really, really good. And there's just, it's his second year in the league. He's going to keep getting better. And I really would want to see what that becomes on this team. And also I love Shake, and I love, you know, and I think Tyrese is a good player, and kind of trading him when he's out of the rotation is a little bit maybe selling low on him. I don't know. But it's also like, well, it's Kyle fucking Lowry. And if the deal is to have him retire here for a 2 or 3 year deal after this season, then like you're going to have to trade something. And
yeah.
And there's other guys that are going to want, other teams are going to want Kyle Lowry. The best circumstance, I think, is Toronto keeps losing and they go, hey, we want to get something for Lowry. And Lowry's people are like, he only wants to go to Philly.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And then that happens. I mean, it might. Mm. I think it might.
I only want to go to Philly. Come on, man. He ain't going to want to go to Miami or LA or something. He is a person.
He's from here and he could come in and start right away on a championship contender. I don't think he would. I guess you could say he would do that in Miami. I don't think it would happen in L.A., although the Clippers, I guess. But they have nothing to trade for him. Like, I think Philly might be the right of, like, Kyle wants to go here, and also we have
some to get stuff.
Legitimate value to trade for him. But, yeah. Who? All right, rank these guys. We've done this before, but at this point, Shake, Matisse, Maxey, and this year's first-round pick.
I want to give credit to somebody in the mailbag who specifically asked us this question. Yeah.
Okay. Is this a mailbag that we're doing tonight, or
Oh, you know what? I think it's in the pod that'll come out Saturday. So we'll give them credit then. It's some Reddit guy. Anyway, Shake, Matisse, Maxey, and the first round pick. Those are what you're asking me to value. I would value.
Keeping in mind that this draft, I know you're not a draft guy, but this draft is especially at the top. Maybe not so much in the depth, but in the first, like, 12 is significantly better than this past draft.
Yeah, we're not going to have one of those picks, though, so, you know.
Yeah, but you could do a trade-up situation, but yeah.
So I would value, still, bowling ball shooting aside, Shake number one. I would value...
In a world where you get Kyle Lowry, though.
Yeah, but think but about still.
That. Shake becomes a little less valuable, Justin, or at least a little less... necessary, like deeply necessary, like he is now.
Sure. Still, I still value Shake number one. I value Thibault number two. I value the pick number three, and I value Maxey number four.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. What do you?
Okay. It might be the same. It changes based on the day, and I think the circumstance. I think that the Sixers are not getting enough credit in a, and maybe this would like make it have to be a three-team trade. The Sixers are not getting enough credit for trading Danny Green in this trade, because Danny Green is a legitimate asset and necessary on this
on Sixers the Sixers team. Yes.
So it's not like it's just, and Danny makes the salaries work.
Right.
Like Danny matters on this team, and without him, especially, Matisse is going to really need to matter more.
Well, my guess is, I haven't looked, but my guess is Danny's made the second most threes on the team this year.
Let's check.
Next.
Second to who?
Seth Curry, right? I mean, Curry's been out a lot maybe, so I don't know. Threes per game? I mean, Danny hasn't missed a game, I don't think. And he hits...
Threes per game, it is Danny.
There you go.
2.3.
There you go.
And threes total, it is also Danny.
There you go.
By quite a bit.
That's pretty important, you know, on a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes, you know? And then the other thing.
But it would also be tough, and then this is the fan part of this podcast. We're not, you know, unbiased. Shake being on the Raptors would be terrible.
Oh, because he'd be awesome.
That. He'd be awesome.
Yeah, he'd be awesome.
I would hate that.
No doubt.
I would really hate that. And he's a vindictive guy as a basketball player.
Yeah, he's fucking and mad he at all the other so Sixers, personally. For Christ's sake. I mean, can you imagine how mad he'd be at them if they traded him away?
Jesus. Yeah, for sure.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, nothing more than I feel like a huge part of Sixers history and just a terrible story, Sean Bradley. I'm sure you saw Sean Bradley was on his bike and was hit by a car and is now paralyzed. Has a long, long, long road of rehab, and they didn't give specifics on where he's paralyzed. But that is just a fucking terrible thing for a guy who was obviously an incredible disappointment as a player, but has pretty much, you know, dedicated most of his life to being a good guy. And seems like a good guy, and that's a terrible thing to happen. So,
terrible injury.
Just terrible. Awful. And especially like terrible for anyone, but just like somebody whose body was so, first of all, him being 7'6" has to make the entire thing stranger. And then your body was your job for a while, you know, it's just fucking terrible. So, sending love to Sean Bradley and his family. The hard to stomach YouTube comment of the week. You can leave a comment right there. Smash the comment button. Leave it. We'll do one. It's brought to us by Stateside Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter. Distilled 7 times, gluten-free, kosher. Yep, kosher, carb-free. Amazing. The best vodka you can buy. Made right here in Philly. Anywhere in the country, in one of 44 states, you can get it delivered to you. Just go to statesidevodka.com. And here in the tri-state area, you can get it in any liquor store. Stateside Vodka. Got to be 21 to enjoy. All right, this comes from Matthias Aroko Shapiro. Spike, been watching the pod for the past 2 months, and I've come to notice your proclivity of cranking your hat 1 centimeter to the left. Not questioning your aesthetic sensibility or anything, but I was wondering if this may have any kind of significance outside of your own personal taste, perhaps a subtle homage to the Fresh Prince.
All right, starting with the heavy questions. Let's get into it.
Yep. So I didn't start wearing hats like this until about a few years ago, and I do enjoy wearing them, and I have a nice collection of them, but what I've noticed is when you wear it straight on, it sort of like hurts right at the front of my head. And when you move the bill just off your forehead, it creates a little bit of space and makes the hat a little bit bigger, and it's more comfortable. So, and then the other thing is I'm a 7.5, and when my hair grows in a little bit, it gets a little tight, and just moving it to the side a little bit makes it feel better. So that is why. Were you ever wondering that, Mike, or no?
Probably never.
Probably not. Mike, as I'm watching tonight's game, LL Pavorsky, the original sponsor of the Reiki, tweeting along with the game. And I always wonder if I work with a guy named James Seltzer, and James always watches games like on the internet. So his tweets are always like 90 seconds behind the action, so they don't totally make sense. LL loves the GIF with the blinking 3, and it always seems to come several minutes after the last made 3.
I do have a lot of respect for people tweeting things way too late.
Really?
Our friend Keith Pompey does that.
Yep.
I think it is an incredibly charming trait.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. It makes you think, oh man, this guy just means well. He means well. You know, he's harmless.
Right. Because most of the time, I'm digging around in the drafts, I'm playing with stuff, and I'm like, nah, I don't need to tweet that. And every time, 6 to 8 to sometimes 45 minutes later, these people be like, no, I have to tweet this.
I have to get it out.
I have to tweet this right now.
It's their Seinfeld jerk store moment where they have the joke, they got to go with it. LL always has the joke, always goes with it, even if it's 45 minutes late. But if you go to a different jeweler, the joke's on you. That's right. LL, the official jeweler of the rights to Ricky Sanchez, 211 engagement rings sold to rights to Ricky Sanchez customers. I still haven't heard from number 200 about me marrying them. I'm not offended at all. I don't need to marry them. I threw out the offer. I'm just saying. You can't go to anybody else, and that's the rule. We hear...
Good for them.
What, for not reaching out to me?
For being like, I'm not fucking... Look, you can get the ring from your podcast guy, but the main podcast guy is not marrying us. Get the fuck out. I respect it. I absolutely do.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they both said no, by the way. I hope it wasn't... Usually, it's the groom being like, well, we could get... I just hope the bride was like, absolutely not. No.
I think both. I think both is the right Good. Call. We have come to this decision together, and neither of us wants this.
LL, if you go to buy a ring from him or anything, wants to do it by appointment with you so he can spend the right amount of time with you. He cares about each customer. It's nice because you go into a lot of the jewelry stores, whether it's in a mall or in the city, and there's just salespeople everywhere. You go into LL Pivorsky Jewelers, it's just with LL. You can do it online. You can do it in the store. You can do it on the phone. That sounds dirty. LL just wants your business. 707 Walnut is where the store is. But to make an appointment, lee@llpivorsky.com. Tweet at him at llpivorsky, or you can just call 215-627-2252. Supports our great charities, Coated by Kids and the Providence Animal Center. LL Pivorsky Jewelers.
I wasn't even thinking about it. I was taking my notes. I got one. Let's just sit here for a second.
Okay. Do you want me to set you up again, or do you just want it to marinate?
No. Let's marinate.
You haven't found the words yet, is it?
The tweets may not be on time, but the rings always are.
That's good enough. All right. The mailbag, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. The mailbag has saved us many times. Mailbag has been excellent this year. Send us a basketball and a non-basketball question. Mike, it starts off with two all-stars, AU and then Jason Lipschitz. Just they're sending us mailbag questions. AU works for us, sending us mailbag questions. He says, I've been following the Knicks pretty closely this year since it's a fun team and a bunch of my friends in New York are fans. AU works at Billboard in New York. I've gotten into a couple of arguments with my long-term roommate about the team and whether or not it matters if they make the postseason this year. He insists that he doesn't care about wins and just wants long-term development for their young guys, and he'd rather sell off their veterans at the deadline rather than fortify their roster for the playoffs this year. I think that as a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 8 years, the Knicks have a responsibility to at least try to make it this year once they're already this close, at least in a way that doesn't involve any shortchanging of the long-term future. And then once this year's done, they can do further retooling in the offseason like OKC did last summer. I'm aware that this is sort of an ironic argument for a process truster to be making, since our whole thing was about not settling for mediocrity and about pushing for future greatness, even if it meant dealing with abject horror in the meantime. But that was after we'd already been middling for half a decade, making the playoffs 4 or 5 times in 5 years and winning only one injury-decimated series. I think we'd feel different about one of those Doug Collins playoff runs if we hadn't made the playoffs at some point since those Iverson early 2000s prime. What do you guys think? When a team hasn't made the playoffs in a long while, do they owe it to their fans to make a good faith run at a likely low-ceiling playoff appearance, or is setting up for long-term greatness as much and as quickly as possible the only thing that really matters?
The Knicks just need to be reasonably competent. And for so long, they haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
They're the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Free agents are begging to come there.
Yes.
If they are just a little fucking decent.
Yep.
And for so long that they haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, for a very long time, were horrendous. And as soon as they start to look reasonably good, people are demanding a way to get to the Clippers. The Nets, they moved to Brooklyn. They're bad for a while. They have a good playoff run, and then guys want to come there. The Knicks, it shouldn't be hard for them. There was a Zach Lowe and Kirk Goldsberry.
Yeah, I heard.
On the podcast. And Kirk Goldsberry, who seems like a really smart guy, made the most, 2008, 2012 argument of all time that, it's good to be in the big city, and if you're not in a big, fancy city, then you should be building through the draft. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
The first time that anyone's thought of that.
Yeah.
Let's get a whole expose on it. It's like, yeah, we know. There's, six cities that are good enough that as long as they're decent, and even sometimes if they aren't, they can get free agents to come there.
Mm-hmm.
They just had to have a base level of be a little bit good so that we can start selling the buzz.
New York,
and so
LA, Miami, Houston/Dallas, would you say?
I wouldn't say Dallas. I'd say Houston, and I might add Chicago.
Yeah, and Chicago. Yep.
And the Warriors for a long time were also too bad to get free agents, and now they become a destination.
Well, now they're San Francisco instead of Oakland, which is difference. Yeah.
Different situation. But I think they'll be one of the teams that for a long time, just because they're a good organization in a destination city,
mm-hmm.
Will get people to come there. If the Knicks start, the Knicks should make the playoffs. They should want to make the playoffs. They should absolutely want to. You don't hire Tom Thibodeau to rebuild. They want to make the playoffs. They should be, trade Ntilikina or Kevin Knox and get another actually good veterans. You don't have to play Taj Gibson or Derrick Rose or maybe Alec Burks any minutes, or Elfrid Payton, who's pretty mediocre, and make the playoffs. And then take some team to like five games and feel like Knicks basketball is back. It's not hard. It's like so not hard to make the Knicks someone wants to come here place. And for so long that they haven't. And yeah, they should. If they start selling off pieces, then guys are going to be like, oh, they don't, fuck them.
And
I don't care.
But by the way, the Knicks and the, like, similar to LA with the Lakers and the Clippers, there are way more people that are excited for this year's Knicks in New York than excited for this year's Nets. Like, the Knicks are, I could make an argument, as much as LA, you could say LA, that the Knicks are the potential, like the most glamorous franchise in the NBA, I think. I mean,
I think just because most of the, I think it might be changing now that there's so much media in LA, but I think for the New York is still like the crux of where everything is. Like,
yeah,
this is not super relevant, but like when the pandemic was raging New York in last March, it was all everybody was talking about. Mm-hmm. It happened in California, which has LA and San Francisco, and people kind of didn't really care about it. It wasn't really being talked about that much. When things happen in New York, everybody is talking about the thing that happened in New York. So I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I do think that, obviously, I have a sordid Knicks fan past, but those fans, man, like, that place has not missed a sellout. It would be nice for them to get into the fucking playoffs and feel good about it. And I again
and losing four to the Sixers.
Yes, and Leon Rose is like hopefully knows what he's doing between Leon Rose and World Wide West. Like you want to talk about two guys that could attract free agents.
It's just not hard.
Yeah,
their job is so easy. It's hard to be running the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be running Minnesota or Charlotte or Orlando or whatever it is. Because you have to be like, how do I, you know, and then all of a sudden this guy who's pretty good, do we max this guy out? But then what's our ceiling there? San Antonio is running into it now. But like, it's really easy. It's really easy to run the Knicks. And they've been failing at it for so long. And you have a decent team. Julius Randle's playing incredible basketball and works his ass off. And he got a couple and shooters,
quickly,
some defensive identity.
Awesome.
Quickly's fun.
I would trade for Kevin Knox, by the way. I kind of like would buy low on Kevin Knox.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Kevin Knox is definitely a buy low candidate, yeah, for sure. I think Nick Aquino might be also, although his offense is really
tough.
He
sucks, I think.
His defense is great, though. Yeah. Legitimate. His defense is legitimate.
And then,
but yeah.
And then the non, that wasn't even a Sixers question, but non-Sixers question, that was a long one, so I'll keep this short. What's your favorite joke? Not like a funny line or a scene in the movie or a TV show, but a classic setup punchline joke without a particular pop culture origin. Who has a favorite joke? Do you?
I think people have favorite jokes. I think, like, you know, dads have favorite jokes, whether it's knock knock or whatever, those kinds of things.
Do you have a favorite joke?
Not off the top of my head. Not one that I like commit to. Like, hey, you ever hear the one? Like those guys.
Yeah.
Guys who do that kind of stuff. Like that couldn't be less my comedy.
Two guys walk into a bar, like, come on.
Any of that. Yeah. You ever hear about the one about insert ethnicity? Like, it's just, I'm so not interested in it. Like, never have been.
You know?
And I feel like that's all the dads I grew up with.
Yeah.
All of them. Every single of my friend's dads were telling jokes like that.
Oh, really?
Nonstop.
My dad doesn't understand jokes, so.
That really adds a lot of things together.
Tracks, yeah. Me. This comes from our friend Jason Lipschitz. Basketball question. Sixers Adam once famously wrote, if I had 3 years of training, I could become one of the best tennis players in the world with ease.
I love that tweet.
If every Sixer, by the way, like, well, whatever. Elliot at work got fucking roasted for something like that. Sixers Adam, famous for it. Anyway.
Well, I think the tone of the tweets were different. The tone of the
Sixers
tweets
Adam was completely serious.
But it's such a ridiculous thing in a funny way that it's,
yeah,
and it was written in a funny way, and Elliot was out of touch and overinflating his ability to be a professional.
I love Elliot's tweet. It's one of my favorite tweets of all time. Anyway, if every Sixer had 3 years of tennis training, who would be the best tennis player? Would any of them be better than Sixers Adam? I mean, it's Thibel.
Yeah, has definite tennis vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like Joel's good at everything.
Yeah, but he's so big, and like you have to be quicker, I think. Then I think Joel would be good at it, but I think Thibault could be really good at it.
I wonder what hand Ben swings a racket with.
Oh, come on. We know what hand he swings the racket with. Fucking crazy. The hand he does everything with. And then non-basketball question. For the rest of your life, would you rather be able to eat only top 10 the foods from only the top 10 foods from Sixers Adam Foods list, or only be able to listen to AU's top 20 favorite songs? The AU list is only theoretical, but widely coveted, of course.
I'd go AU. I feel like I trust AU's most of AU's taste in music. Sixers Adam's list is unhinged, and I do love it, but I would put that on somebody else.
Let me tell everybody about AU for a second here, who writes about music for a living. He doesn't have bad taste, but he has really terrible music takes that are wrong a lot of times. And he purposely picks songs that aren't, like, that he says are better than they actually are. I would clearly take Sixers Adam's Foods over only listen. Now, music is very important to me. I could never listen to AU's top 20 songs. Like, you know, fucking pop punk bands that never made it list. Absolutely not. No chance. I'm not listening to AU's list. This list is likely terrible. There's no chance. I would absolutely take Adam's Foods. This comes from Josh's, and that's his name, Josh's. He specifically wrote it out. Hey, Spike and Mike, I've really been enjoying the addition of Michael Bivins to the pod. It's nice to hear someone with a different perspective on Vincent Poirier's potential. That said, it got me thinking about how we view others we don't know in real life through the lens of their admitted personal likes and dislikes. So my question is this. Is there anyone famous or semi-famous that you like outside of sports commentators whose negative opinion about the Sixers and specifically about the process would make you feel differently about them or their work?
Everybody. Every single person.
It's the right answer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you feel strong enough to have an opinion, if you don't have an opinion and you're just like, oh, that seems weird that they would lose on purpose. Like, if you're not properly educated on what it was, then it's like, fine. But if you feel like you know, if you feel like I have a good handle on the process and I think it was stupid and their fans are rubes and whatever, and there's new people randomly, I almost feel like they're computer generated, that spring up on Twitter that want to argue about the process every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. New person. Who is this? I have no idea. He's arguing with everyone. And if someone I liked and respected on a... I really don't talk about the Sixers much outside of this, and especially not the process. Like, I try not to at all. And it's partially because, like, you know, I have a high opinion of myself and my basketball takes, which is obviously annoying, but the truth, like I don't, random casuals that I either work with or interact with or meet with or whatever that want to like talk about basketball, you know, there's people that I talk to, like they pronounce it like Giannis, and I'm like, I can't talk to you about stuff if you're pronouncing it Giannis. And that's why I just don't talk about it, because I'll ruin my career because I'll make fun of someone's stupid takes.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And I think I'm even forced to, given that I live in Philly, the opportunity comes up, I think, probably more for me. And it's always exhausting.
What's your job? You work at a sports radio station. Well, so that's the day-to-day.
Yeah, I mean, my job is to run the radio station, help the host. Like, thankfully, God bless my hosts. I have no idea how they do it. Like, I don't know how they do it for 4 hours every day. And then every place they go, people want to talk about it with them. I have no idea. It seems horrible to me. And I remember, speaking of finding out somebody had and this wasn't even about the process, but I found out that the singer from Pavement, Stephen Malkmus, who is a big basketball fan, was a Ben Simmons isn't really a rookie guy.
Yikes.
And that was so, made me so mad. And I don't even care.
It's tough to take.
Yeah, but it made me mad. Yeah. And then also, can we agree that calling...
Because sometimes an opinion isn't just an opinion.
It's like, just wrong.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what, like, you know, people talk about it with, like, politics or racism, whatever. Obviously, this isn't nearly as important as that. But sometimes an opinion is revealing of the kind of person you are and the way that your brain works. And if your brain works in a way that you want to wear a Ben Simmons isn't a rookie shirt, then something's wrong with you and I'm judging you for it. It's not just, oh, I don't like, you know, oranges. It's different than that. It's different than that, Spike.
Can we agree that calling Furkan Korkmaz the fork and shouting at players to, quote, feed the fork when he's got the hot hand?
I don't mind it. I'm not going to push it. Yeah. But if it happened organically, I'd be okay with it. But I'm not going to push it.
And then final email. This comes from Matt. Mike, this is about you. Hi, Spike. When Mike finally decides that it's time to cut his hair, you should talk him into auctioning off locks of it to Ricky listeners as a fundraiser for Providence Animal Center and or Coded by Kids. I feel like there's a number of people who listen to the pod who would love to own a small piece of Mike's hair. It would be an ultra rare piece of Ricky memorabilia. To be clear, I personally have no interest in owning a lock of Mike's hair. But my sense is that
But those other idiots.
My sense is that I might be in a minority among podcast listeners. What if we could weave your hair into the like a t-shirt?
No. No, that's not going to happen. Did we talk about this? I tried to donate it or something? Locks of Love? Did I talk about this with you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they want sort of unkempt,
I think
long, flowing,
yeah,
sort of 60s hair that sort of just goes nowhere and stuff? But I am, it is, we're closing in on when I will be getting it. It is, it's getting to, you know, there's highs and lows, but it is getting, it's, you know, I've got my first vaccine. Like we're getting to a place when it's been untenable for a while, but it might be time to go.
Yeah, I've been cutting my own hair for a year and I'm about ready to go back to Nafis. So Nafis, I hope you're ready. All right. We weren't able to get to Michael Bivins. We actually have to record a second pod tonight. We just didn't have time, but hopefully next time. It's been a rough getting him on, but possibly next time. There will be a pod this weekend that will be an AMA pod and our, what's it called, speech? Keynote speaker address from the Cal State Fullerton School of Modern Languages and Literatures. That'll be coming this weekend. And then, of course, Thursday night at 9 on Twitter Spaces, us with Maury and Hugh. So looking forward to that. Good moral victory. The Sixers don't play till Saturday, right? Kings game?
Yes. Saturday. 2 days off, which means I got the tournament free.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Well, have a good time. Have a good time. Enjoy that tournament.
The best. It's the best. The happiest I ever am.
Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know. Lick face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.